Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo Chant.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Let's start with this topic from the last few calls about the Bills and whether their defense in the playoffs has been or will be aggressive enough. Is aggressive the right word? I think it can
work. Sure, that's for the, if you're spinning off the last two callers, yeah, I would say, you know, more aggressive.
I'm digging up stats on yards per play and their playoff games, different things, trying to figure out how good a point it is. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We've all had conversations with each other and with fans for a few years now, Sal, about Happy New Year, Sal.
Happy New Year, guys. Good to talk to you.
Hey,
and welcome back, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Sal. Good to talk to you.
We've had many conversations about the Bills' defensive philosophy, and maybe it doesn't get enough credit because, you know, people talk – the points that have been made today, like fans at home seeing the corners way off the ball, different things. But the last guy eventually got around to adding to the point that he was making, Sal, by saying, well, they do win all the time.
Right.
So we've spent a lot of time on pass defense versus run and that kind of thing. What are your thoughts, if you have them, on in the playoffs against teams, especially maybe like the Chiefs or the Ravens, who you've played, and just if that matters here, like just especially Kansas City, like you just have had so many runs with them. Do you think, bottom line, the Bills should adjust how they play defense in the playoffs?
I don't think they should like have some sort of massive adjustment to their normal philosophy, but I think people don't understand that they actually do play a little bit more man-to-man than they're giving credit for this year, and they've adjusted a little bit, especially with the different personnel, especially with Cole Bishop in there. They've done some different things this year. This is not just a sit back in a zone and let everything catch in front of you. Yes, that is still the primary philosophy of their defense, but on a game-to-game basis, drive-to-drive, down-to-down, they've adjusted here a little bit. They've done some different things. And I think especially because of the different personnel they've had in there, especially at safety, you've seen some of that. They play a little bit more cover six. By the way, cover six is like, it's like three deep safeties, but it's two safeties have a quarter of the field. One has a half of the field. So it's called quarter, quarter, half. They played some of that. They've played a little bit more man-to-man. If you watch when Cole Bishop's especially been in there, you'll see one deep safety. And, like, he'll be up near the line. Like, that's a little different than just your normal cover two, keep everything in front of you stuff.
Yeah. One thing that has not come up that I've not said to sort of fend off these people. I, by the way, I'm totally welcoming the conversation. I sort of jumped all over the first guy a little bit. Good quarterbacks are dying for you to play man. They're dying for you to be aggressive. They're dying for you to blitz. It's one of the reasons McDermott has played the way he's played it, largely, again, generalizing here. But what do we say when teams want to play man against the Bills, mostly, is like, bring it on. Allen's going to chew you up.
Yeah, that's exactly right, especially a mobile quarterback, right? Because the backs get turned to you. You're a man-to-man defense. All of a sudden, a DB's back gets turned to you. Bam, there comes a running lane. So if you have a mobile quarterback, it's even tougher. You know, DB's, by playing zone, can see the ball coming at them in the backfield on a run play. They can drive on the ball and try to make a tackle. So that's a big part of it as well. No doubt about it. And I think, you know, I think I heard a philosophy years ago of, you blitz the young ones and cover the older ones, right? Or something like that with the quarterbacks, right? Which is, don't blitz the older quarterbacks. They know they're going to find the hot read right away, and they're going to know exactly where to get that ball out, and then you're just caught in space, right? So against those quarterbacks, yeah, keep everything in front of you. Make them fight for another down. You know, especially a team like, let's just say who they're playing here. I would be a little bit willing to bet here that they would play differently between the Broncos and the Bengals, let's say. Whereas the Bengals have this high-flying offense, and you can't allow Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to ruin your game, right? I mean, bam, just they're going over the top of you, the game is over. You can't do that. That's when you're going to play, you know, keep everything in front of you. And I get it. I know that 2 years ago in the playoffs, way too much of that. I totally agree with that. Yes, they were way too off, and that image is just imprinted in everybody's brain, right? And how far off they were in that game, in the snow, in the playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think they would play a little bit more of a soft zone. It's a team that can't run the ball as well. But against the Denver Broncos, that's a team with a rookie quarterback who's going to want to play quick game a little bit. They're going to want to try to they don't want him sitting back there and trying to have to get confused. So I think the Bills then would come up a little bit. They make him make quick decisions by going man-to-man and then heating him up a little bit.
How seriously are you taking the possibility, Sal, of Denver losing this week to Kansas City? You mentioned the Bengals. Okay, I guess it's possible. Joe Ostrowski earlier said that the bet over the years has been on the teams that don't have something to play for with the spread against the teams that do.
I'm not taking it very seriously, but I think there's a chance. I believe today is the anniversary of the Bills losing to the Steelers backups, from what I read on social media.
Okay, 20 years.
X Machine. Yeah, it's a 20-year anniversary of that. Remember last year, it was the AFC South. What was the game? Let me go back. I got the schedule in front of me. It was Jags have to win to make the playoffs. Here come the 5-11 Titans and beat them, right? 28-20. So that knocks the Jags out. We've seen this happen before. And I think that there is something about a little bit of, you know, just playing a little bit tight. You can't make a mistake. And then this other team has nothing to play for in the standings. And they just go out there and play loose. And yeah, guys are just letting it hang out because they are playing for each guy. Okay, let's take Cleveland, for example, here tomorrow, right? Cleveland is not playing for anything. Baltimore is still trying to win the division. I'm by no means suggesting Cleveland's going to win the game, but Bailey Zappi's playing. What does Bailey Zappi care? He just wants to throw the ball deep and score, right? I mean, who knows? You make a couple of those plays, and suddenly you're feeling really good about yourself.
Right, and maybe you can say the same thing about Carson Wentz on Sunday, too,
that's exactly right?
Like, let me reclaim a little lost glory here. Maybe, you know, some quarterback-hungry team. Rob Johnson had one good game at the end of a regular season back in 1997 and got a job, got a huge contract and all of it.
Matt Flynn, the Packers.
right. That anniversary was today, too. I saw that on Twitter. That great game he had with Green Bay.
Listen, Zappy, good luck to you, buddy. Their implied total is 10.5 points.
Right.
In 30-mile-an-hour winds in Baltimore. It could go well.
Mike, did you see today that line actually went up from 18 to 20 when it was announced he was starting? they took away points from the Browns for that.
That's tough.
Yeah,
when the line is 18 and you get announced the starter and it spikes,
That's not a
great sign.
That's tough. Well, I wonder, you know, listen, I'm fooling around here about Carson Wentz in Kansas City. Like, we don't want the Bengals in the pool, right? Because I don't want to play them week one. The Chiefs have something to say about it because they're the opponent here, and the Bengals need a Denver loss. While I might think the Chiefs, like the Bills, or like Bills fans, Chiefs fans, be like, I don't want any part of Joe Burrow in the playoffs. You also, though, you want to take it up a notch. You're setting up Burrow to play the Bills and take them out, maybe. Like, maybe you want, if you're Kansas City, maybe you want the Bengals in the pool.
Right, but if you do that, then you're still facing them in the second round. That would be easily.
Right.
You'd have to deal with them. Look, I respect all that. I'm listening to one. I just saw one today about how, well, the Eagles don't. They would rather lose so the Giants don't improve their draft pick and get a quarterback. And we've had this whole thing all week with the Bills. People have said this all week. About how, well, the Bills actually, they should want to lose this game so the Patriots don't have the number one pick. I have zero respect for that because, yes, while there are people in the organizations who, of course, would say, hey, we don't really want the Patriots to have the number one pick, or the people in the Eagles, we don't want the Giants. I get all that. Or even the Patriots themselves in different scenario where they could get the number one pick. Look, If you are the coach of the Bills, if you're the coach of the Chiefs, right? You're Sean McDermott, you're Andy Reid. These are players that have been in your locker room playing with you all season that have worked their tail off for you. You owe it to them to go out there and play your best game and give them a chance to win. This is their life and careers. They're going out there putting whatever they can on film for their next job, for you, for that season. You know, someone called the morning show this morning and said, you know, McDermott should have them just take it out of the end zone and kneel it at the 5 so you can try and lose. Like, what? You're going to tell Brandon Codrington that? Like, the dude wants to score. That's what he's worked his whole life for to do. So I don't have any respect for that.
No, that would never happen. Whenever it does mean anything to a team to lose, to be incentivized to lose, at least you got to make it look good. Nobody's ever doing that.
You could make the argument you're set up to not really care as much if you win. I get that. Like, you know, if the Patriots and Gerard Mayo, if he gets marching orders from the front office, hey, you want your job next year? Like, he could. They could, you know, do it where they're not putting their best personnel. They're holding back on Christian Gonzalez, even if he clears concussion protocol, something like that. But I don't think during the game. I even don't think he's making decisions that are worse off for his team. I think you go into the game and you play to win the game. And Brian Flores, what was the allegation that, you know, he said that there was an allegation that he was asked to do this a few years ago. And he's like, I'm not doing that. Like, these guys, they play. They show up every day. They grind. They put their bodies on the line. We're going to try and win this game, and I'm the head coach. So I can't see it in a game. But I do think, Mike, you're right, that you could at least set your team up personnel-wise to not have your best group on the field.
No, right. But what would it look like if both teams didn't care about whether they were accused of it or not? You take the snap on 1st and 10 to start the game, you put the ball on the field, and no one picks it up because both teams
right.
want to lose. Like, that's what it would look like if it was just completely out in the open.
I know what it sounds like today. May's going to play, says Adams Van Pelt. He cleared the concussion protocol, or if he was ever even in it, I can't remember. I know he got evaluated for one during their last game, but then did end up returning to the game. I wonder, with the state of the coach there, like, that's been a question, and I think still will be one going into the offseason, whether they are comfortable continuing with him. I wonder if someone above Mayo could get to him between now and Sunday. Like, don't play him. We know he's good. Like, there's an argument to be made to get him the reps, like, get him another, you know, all that. And there's also, just shut him down. We know he's good. We got to build around him. We don't need him getting hurt in this game. Nod, nod, wink, wink, you know, like, don't play him to protect him, but also, you know, he's probably our only chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, just for clarification purposes, he did come back that game the next week after concussion. He's actually listed with a right hand injury.
Oh, okay, thank you.
On the injury report, so it's not a concussion. So if the right hand's okay, I mean, I think that's different. I do think it might even be different if you had a concussion, right? And Christian Gonzalez is actually the guy used on purpose for that. Christian Gonzalez has not practiced for 2 days in a row with a concussion. He's a really good player. And if you're the Patriots, you might say, you know what, like, there's no reason to have him play this last game, right? Like, just, he's got a concussion. Let's just make sure he goes into the offseason healthy. We're not dealing with anything there. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, if ownership did that, or at the very least, they may say, listen, like, you know, we want to make sure, give the kid his reps, it's great, go out there, maybe get a chance to beat Mitch Trubisky and the Buffalo Bills, but at some point in the game, you know, make sure that we get him out of there healthy.
Let's get to the injuries here, Sal. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I count 17 names on the injury report today. They can't all sit. So yeah. Allen is on there, and we know he'll start at least. What do you expect here? Bernard, we've learned about already. Parse the injury report for us, if you would.
Well, Terrell Bernard, good news. He was practicing today. So anybody who's worried about him maybe not being available for next week's game because he was termed anywhere from day to day to week when McDermott talked on Wednesday, he was back on the field today. So I never had any concern about that. Here's what I interpret, and you listen to Sean McDermott, and if you've covered him long enough, you kind of understand how he talks sometimes about these things, what he means. When he says between day-to-day and week-to-week, the way I interpret that is, hey, this week he's not going to play. We'll reevaluate next week. That's the week-to-week part. But he's actually day-to-day with the severity of the injury, which is why I think he practiced today. That being said, he was one of 5 guys who were limited. The others, safety DeMar Hamlin, safety Cam Lewis, safety Taylor Rapp, wide receiver Curtis Samuel, they all had red jerseys on. Amari Cooper was not on the injury report yesterday. He was today with a back injury. He did say he hurt his back and his tailbone, his tailbone after that catch he made. But he was a full participant today. He was a full participant, but he is listed. All right, what do I expect? Well, listen, you're right, Mike. You can't. You know, not everybody can sit. We know Josh Allen's going to play, and the way I look at it is, if Josh Allen's going to play, you're going to have your starting offensive line play. Like, I don't think you put Josh Allen
until he comes
in
out,
any
right.
situation yeah. behind five different guys, right? So I think that you have your starting offensive line play, and that only leaves you four on the active roster. I think you have to elevate. To me, you probably elevate an offensive lineman so you can have a wholesale 5-for-5 switch during the game and let those five guys play.
Right. I've been thinking about a running back, probably Sal, right? Because maybe Cook, he's only, what did you say, Mike, 15 yards, 14 yards away from 1,000?
19.
And he's also got a touchdown record. But I don't know. Like, I don't need James Cook to be playing in this game. I think I'm looking for Frank Gore Jr.
Well, here's the issue, Bulldog. I agree with you. I'd love to see that. The problem is you only get two elevations, and there are guys who are banged up, and you're going to have to use guys.
Right, right, right.
So if you don't want to play all your safeties, you probably have to elevate Lewis Cine. And if you subscribe to the theory I just gave you on the offensive line, you probably got to elevate one of them. Well, that's it. You can't elevate anybody else. That's even why I asked Sean specifically about Mike White about this. And he was honest and transparent and said, it's going to be tough to elevate him because of this, because of the numbers. Like, that means basically you're going to have two quarterbacks active, and one's Josh Allen. And if something, God forbid, were to happen to Mitch Trubisky, well, you'd either have to put Allen back in or go Wildcat the rest of the game.
Allen's just handing it off 40 times to end the game if that happens, right?
That's probably exactly right. So while I agree with you, and I think that would be great if they could do that, I just don't see where the numbers come from.
Yeah, good point. So I wonder how that all ends up shaking out. What do you think? Will they have a decision to make? If Hamlin is 100%, whether it's by Sunday or by the playoff game, and he's, you know, totally clean bill of health, has Bishop done enough to make them feel like, you know what, let's just keep going with the flow with what we've got going here? Or do you think Hamlin would deserve to get back into the starting lineup?
I think the way Sean answered the question the other day about this leaves the door open for them to make a change. But I still think it's less likely they do it. He said, we'll see, when asked if Cole has earned a more significant role. Now, what does that mean? More significant role. It could be a dime safety, right? It could be a starter. That doesn't have to be playing for DeMar Hamlin. But he also said, I've been very pleased with his improvement over the four games. I just feel like there's room here to think about this. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, especially if you're playing a little bit more of a run-oriented team, the way they've used him, putting him in the box, I think he's done a good job at setting the edge sometimes when they've asked him to do that. He does have a few missed tackles because I think that he's still, the game goes, he's trying so hard. Like Dorian Williams last year, remember that? Dorian Williams would go so quick that he wouldn't slow down enough to kind of let the play come to him. I think Cole still has to learn that, but man, he is a willing participant in every single play. And I do think that there's an option here. At the end of the day, I just go back to the word that I always say with Sean McDermott, and that's trust. DeMar Hamlin has been here, as you guys know. We've talked about it all year. He's a four-year player. He understands this system. He's done a really good job. This team has allowed very few big-time plays over the top of them, especially with him on the field, and I just think that probably still leans it in his favor.
Two Bills make the Pro Bowl roster, or Pro Bowl games, if you prefer. Allen and Deion Dawkins. Only one other player in the AFC East was named to the AFC team, a special teamer from New England. Three for the whole division. I don't know if people track that stuff, but that seems like that could be a record. Will this be motivation, Sal? Will the Bills want to use nine Ravens, two Bills in the Pro Bowl?
Oh, everything is used as motivation.
That's right.
There's no doubt. And in some capacity, there's no doubt about it. I guarantee you, you have position coaches walking into position meetings today and saying, yeah, you want to show everybody what we have here? You know, you didn't make the Pro Bowl. Right? They only give us two of them, right? I mean, there is a sense of pride that goes along with it of the everybody eats. This is a team. It's the culture. Look what we've built here without a bunch of stars. We only have two Pro Bowlers, but look what we're doing here. There's no doubt about that. I think they take pride in that. I mean, James Cook was mad. James Elena Getzenberg from ESPN, she tweeted out. She asked him about it, and he used the word BS. What he said. Right. He tweeted at the NFL about it basically today. If you go look at his Twitter feed, look. Yeah, I think that it could be used for motivation. You find any little thing you can to use for motivation like that, and I think that certainly can be one of them.
I hope he knows who to be mad at. I mean, it's the fans vote, the players vote, and the coaches vote, 1/3 each for the Pro Bowl. But yeah, you're right. What do we all do with ourselves on a Thursday night with no NFL game?
Well, there is another college game. There's one going on right now. And I believe there's another bowl game tonight.
The Gator Bowl is tonight. Duke, Ole Miss, maybe?
I mean, I'm still, I will still watch the Sabres play as far as that will go. I'm not sure, but I'll still do that tonight.
I'm just going to turn on Prime and see if Al shows up. Just hoping that there's some kind of game he's at that he can talk to me about. Very good, Sal. Have a good night. Happy New Year. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
All right, it's our man Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Thoughts on Week 18, the playoff picture. We've been talking about it all the time here. 803-0550 for your calls and the Pro Bowl thing. You know, I'm not usually big on this every year, who makes it, who doesn't, popularity stuff. But two, like the teacher in Willy Wonka when Charlie Bucket says he only opened two Wonka bars. Two Pro Bowlers? Nine Ravens? Come on. Their defense got more guys on the team than the entire AFC East at all positions. I thought it was supposed to be bad. 803-0550, back after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.